Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 201 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name is Garrett Drake. I'm joined across the internet by Jacob Alka. Preston is absent, unfortunately. But it's good to have you, Jacob. How are you?
I'm great, man. It's so good to hear your buttery, smooth, seductive voice in my eardrums.
That's rather descriptive, but I'll take it, Jacob. It's good to hear yours as well. I got to see a brief glimpse of you over Skype this morning. You look handsome as ever. We both have coffee in hand. It is 8:13 in the morning here in Atlanta, Georgia on a Tuesday, which is probably the first time we've recorded an actual episode of the podcast on a weekday like this, as well as this early in the morning. I think we've done one other morning podcast in the past, but this is probably the earliest, which 8 a.m. to many of you probably sounds like nothing, but it's pretty grueling when you've been asleep. You've only been asleep for about 2 hours.
Yeah, I typically sleep until like 10 on Tuesday, so it's a little rough for me.
Yeah, I get to go to class after this. You have work today? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm going to the gym right after this, and then I'm going to go into work and work. I'm not sure how long I'll be there today.
Alrighty. Well, I miraculously have a night off, which is very rare for me. So I'm going to get some exercise myself after class and
get the podcast uploaded, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that first. Thank you for reminding me. And I'll probably play some Rage after that.
Exciting. I have
Possession of Rage, which is pretty cool. I can talk about that in a bit. But aside from that, man, I'm just going to keep it real and enjoy myself for an evening, I think, unless there's some kind of project that I've forgotten about. We'll see. But for now, I think I'm in the clear. I can't breathe through my nose as usual. And I'm partially delirious, but I'd love to hear about your week.
It was good. Nothing crazy happened this last weekend. It's been 2 weeks since we've done the podcast. This last weekend was Mother's Day, obviously. And, I spent Sunday with my mama. Oh, dear.
Sorry, I got a video from my classmate, and it's actually quite relevant. Totally forgot about something. Continue.
Okay. I spent the whole day with my mama on Sunday. It was good. Took her out to eat, got her some flowers and whatnot. And then me and my father cooked like a steak of dinner. It was really good. And I made some dessert that night too. I made these brownies, Garrett. They were incredible. Let me tell you.
You made the brownies?
I did. And they're almost gone already.
Did you say you made a steak of dinner?
I did.
Yeah, I love me a good steak of dinner. I'd like to have one every night of the week if I can.
Yeah, we had these really big and juicy fillets. They were so good.
Mm. I am a fillet man myself.
Oh, yeah. Especially like, sometimes it sucks because they're so small, but if you get like a big juicy one, it's perfect.
Mm, yeah, it's succulent and divine,
but
to say the least.
In terms of other things that are going on, a couple weekends ago, I went to a wedding down in Fort Lauderdale. I think that's why we didn't have a podcast that week. But it was a good time. Caught up with some old friends. I ate at a really good pizza place. Don't remember the name, forgive me. And we went into this Mexican restaurant where no one spoke English. So it was quite the trip trying to order what we wanted and pay and get out of there. It was a whole ordeal, but it was fun. And then I had a good cigar and a drink with good buddy Elliot the night that we landed. But it was a good trip, man. Good seeing my buddy Carlos getting married. He's a good dude. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. What about you,
dude? That's thrilling, man.
That's all the cool like real life stuff that I've done.
Yeah, I'm sad I wasn't there. It looks like you guys had a lot of fun.
I wish you could have been.
Yeah, well, I was not invited.
I know.
So maybe I'll be invited to the next wedding, hopefully. Which, who knows when that'll be.
Depending on who it is,
the rest of us are abundantly single, unfortunately. So,
Enjoy the single life.
Sure. What else do I have going on? I have nothing going on, man. Same old for me. Just working nonstop. I ran sound for Mega Ran last night. That was kind of cool.
I saw that. That was really cool. I've heard of him from Kind of Funny, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of been involved with him in the past, I think. And that was kind of cool, I guess. It was a nice surprise. Mm-hmm. So did that.
How was he?
It was fine. It was just a hip-hop show. Mm-hmm. Nothing really out of the ordinary. I like his music, though, because it's all video game related.
Yeah, I saw him wearing that Mega Man blaster.
Yeah, it was cool. So, aside from that, man, Literally nothing.
Yeah, sometimes that's good.
Yeah. But actually, I do have some news. I'm no longer going to E3 this year.
Oh, no.
Yep. I was offered an incredible opportunity to do some video and photo work in Panama City this summer. So it's an opportunity that's pretty profound, and I couldn't say no to, and I'm pretty excited about it. So I had to accept that offer and forego E3 this year, unfortunately. But COG Connected is still going to provide some absolutely amazing coverage this year, and I actually look forward to tuning into it from the outside this time.
Yeah,
which would be cool. I won't get to participate in any stuff that we would do because it's the same week, of course, which sucks. But regardless, it'll be cool to just tune into it this year. But pretty excited about that. Yeah, that's it, man. Nothing.
Nice, dude. I'm glad you came to a conclusion on your decision. So I know we talked about it.
Yes, we did.
Whether you were going to like go on that, you know, go do video for them or go to E3 again.
Right.
But it sounds like you made the right choice.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Want to talk about what we've played this week so far?
I think we should do that.
I'll go first. So I flew on a plane, so whipped out the old Switch again, and I downloaded Hollow Knight, Garrett, after Preston's, you know, exuberating recommendations. I think that word works here. So I played probably a couple hours of it, beat a few bosses, and I'm not like I love the game's, it's great, right? Like the atmosphere is great. I love just like the eeriness of it. But I don't really know if it's a game for me. I kept finding myself just not really having a whole lot of fun. And I don't know if that's just because I'm very early on in the game or if it's just because it's like not my kind of game. Like it was always satisfying, like beating a boss and then like unlocking a new ability and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's hard for me to describe why I didn't like it. Have you ever like checked out any gameplay for it or anything?
I have actually played it.
Okay. How much have you played?
I had the same experience. I played it for about an hour and a half and it just didn't hook me. So I stopped.
Yeah. I mean, like if I like really sat down and like put a lot of time into it, I feel like I could really enjoy it, but I don't know. There's just something about it is not really hooking me and it's hard for me to really say. I know that's not like a great description of like my experience, but that's the best that I can give you. But I also picked up Let's Go Pikachu again on my Switch since I wasn't having a lot of fun with Hollow Knight. And I beat Blaine and Giovanni, the 7th and 8th gym leader. So got all my badges, headed toward Victory Road, got right in front of the cave, turned it off. And I was actually thinking about doing a stream this Wednesday afternoon because I'm going to have some free time on a Wednesday, and I was thinking about just finishing the game on stream, just doing something different because I'm always streaming Apex lately. So just want to stream that, knock it out, have an excuse to play it. So
cool.
I'm going to do that.
How are the streams going?
I think they're good. Yeah. Been doing a lot of Apex lately. Been playing a lot with some community members. It's been a good time, man. I can feel myself getting better. Last night we had 4 wins in a row.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
It was.
I should be playing with you when I come back to that game eventually.
Done.
I've been checked out, I kid you not, since like week 2 of that game launching.
I mean, to be honest, you're not missing anything because there's no new content.
Has the gameplay remained mostly the same? Is there like a new meta or anything I'm unaware of?
I mean, a meta has developed over the months, but you know, it's pretty much the same.
Okay, because I feel like I'd be thrown to the wolves if I join back to it at this point.
I mean, the only thing that's probably changed is that people play very aggressive now. Like, if you hear gunshots, like if someone hears you, they're going to charge you. That's pretty much how it goes.
Okay.
So everyone's like running an AR, shotgun, sometimes a sniper. But and the SMGs are really popular too. But yeah, it's a good time. So I also picked up another game on the Switch. Well, I didn't pick one up. I restarted a game that I was previously playing. And that game is Octopath Traveler, Garrett. I was just like sitting in my room it was Friday night. Actually, I was like, you know, I really want to play a single player game, but I don't necessarily like any games that are coming out soon and nothing else is really calling to me. But I looked over at my stack of Switch games and I saw Octopath and I was like, you know, I really enjoyed how good and charming this game was. But I like had that same problem where I couldn't like just jump back into it because one, had no idea what was going on, and two, I didn't even remember how to play the damn game. So I was just like, you know, I was only like 20 hours in. I'm just going to restart it. So I did that two nights ago. I think it was Mother's Day. And really like just jumped right back into it and really enjoyed it after restarting. Unlocked Primrose, which was the dancer. Started out with her this time. So I guess I'm just going to go back through, unlock all the heroes, and then actually progress through the story and see where it goes. I'm hoping that it doesn't fall flat in that regard. But at least the gameplay is fun and it looks cool, you know? So that's what I'm going to be playing.
Yeah, at least it looks cool.
That's what I'll be playing off stream, because I don't really think that game translates well to a stream just because of its nature. But other than that, I think that's all I've touched the last couple weeks. Yeah, that's it. What about you, dude?
Cool. I've only played Rage 2 and PS4 for about an hour and a half. I am providing coverage for COG. In the meantime, I'm hoping to crank out one of my top five things to do other than the main story videos. I can't speak this morning.
Dude, I'd love to see that.
At some point. Hopefully. That's probably impossible, unfortunately, but that's the goal eventually. Because I have no time to play games at all. I mean, the hour and a half I had was even pushing it. I had to sacrifice an hour of sleep that night just to get it done. But it was cool. I like it.
Does it feel like Doom?
Yeah, it does. It's funny. Upon reading the reviews, for some reason, it didn't surprise me that most were saying that while the gameplay and combat is exceptional and the progression is really cool, the open world's a little lackluster. And I got that sense within the first hour of playing it.
Oh, God.
So the open world looks cool. It's fine. I mean, it's fun to drive around in, and there's bases to take out and things to little things here and there to pick up and explore. But aside from that, not a whole lot going on in the open world, but the combat is just as fun as I remembered it being from the few times I had a chance to play it prior to it releasing. And it actually comes out today, the 14th, as of recording this podcast.
But, yep.
Super fun if you like shooters. I'd say it's definitely worth checking out. So
I kind of got the same feeling that you did. I was watching a streamer last night for about 15 minutes, and he was playing it. And like, it looked fun. I saw him shoot some guys. The combat looks cool, but just like the open world, it kind of reminded me of like Mad Max in a sense that like everything just feels so open and empty.
I had that feeling way back in the day when we found out that id Software is working on more of like the combat and shooting aspect of the game, while Avalanche is working on the open world aspect. And I feel like Avalanche, while I think there's two Avalanche studios. If it's the one that works on what do we call it? Just Cause.
Yeah.
I feel like their open worlds have never been anything that special aside from just being a playground for you to run around and destroy stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
So the world themselves, I feel like I was always a little concerned about what it would be like for Rage. But
sure.
It seems like an awesome sequel. I mean, I really enjoyed the first one. I know Preston did too. It wasn't a perfect game by any means, but really fun combat in the original too. And it seems like they've done the same here.
Yeah.
And I'm all about that wing stick, man. That thing's so satisfying. So
I
like it a lot. I'm definitely gonna play it some more. I'm gonna pick it up on PC when I can and play through it on there. And I still need to get to Days Gone. I want to play that.
What's a wing stick?
It's a wing stick. It's like a frisbee with blades on it, and you throw it, and it's kind of like a boomerang. You throw it, and it can decapitate guys or cut off their arms and legs and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. It's like a what do you call an item like a grenade, for example?
A tactical item.
Yeah, it's like a tactical item that you can collect and you can throw them. They're cool.
Gotcha.
So I'm still not awake, Jacob. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I'm just trying to breathe.
That's all
over
I
here.
Played, though, since the last time I played a game, which was 2 weeks ago. It was Hunt Showdown for about 45 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of stuff I do want to play, which I'll get to it this summer a bit. I have no classes this summer, which is thrilling. I'm starting my last wave of classes in the fall. So I'm hopefully just working all summer and be good. But I wanted to say, apologize for missing another week last week. And it's not because we are lazy or unenthusiastic about the podcast. It's just we are so busy, as we've mentioned. But the good news is that the end of this month of May, I will have presumably significantly more time to contribute. One, to just preparing for each episode, but also getting them out on time like we used to. And that includes the YouTube version for those of you that prefer the YouTube version. So you can count on that. I apologize. The last 10 weeks of my life have just been brutal. So we apologize for the inconsistency with the podcast, but we will be back on track with our regular scheduled programming end of the month. So,
hey, man, looking forward to that. Pretty cool.
But yeah, I guess we can jump in some news if you're ready, Jacob.
Oh, dude. Hey, man. What's the news, dude?
Well, I have bullet points as usual. I have not had a chance to read these stories, so hopefully you have.
Oh, God.
I know Epic Games acquired Psyonix developers behind, what was that car game with the ball?
Oh, that's Rocket League.
Yeah, that's the one.
Car game with the ball. Yeah, that's a thing that happened.
Yep.
How do you feel about that?
That happened. It's fine, I guess. I mean, I feel like that's usually every indie studio's dream is to be bought out. Not, maybe not. I know a lot of studios like to have creative control, but I feel like Epic Games would be the kind of acquisition where they'd be like, you do your thing. Like, well, obviously, like, we call the shots at the end of the day, but I feel like Epic would let the studio do their thing.
Yeah. Epic also has a lot of
capital.
They
would reap the rewards of their product.
Epic also has a lot of capital in terms of, like, you know, making that prize pool a little more beefy too. So that might be nice.
Yeah.
As far as like Epic's esports, I know like people have a lot of problems with Fortnite esports just in terms of like how they always change the game right when they're in the middle of tournaments and stuff like that. But I'm sure like it's going to be completely separate in terms of like Fortnite and then Rocket League. And from what I hear, like I haven't actually tuned into a Rocket League like event or tournament or anything like that, but I assume that they have a pretty good system set up there already. So I wouldn't expect like huge changes on that front. But I know if you're like not a fan of Epic Games, the store at least, this might be grim news to one hearing this. But to me personally, I don't care too much. I know you can still play it through Steam if you own the game already. I think there's like a cutoff date where if we actually had the article in front of me, then I could see. But I don't want to make too much noise, so I'm not going to do
that. Oh, that's okay, Jacob. That is quite all right. Yeah.
I'll spare you guys the keyboard clattering.
Yeah, I have the most obnoxious keyboard on the planet, yep, I think.
Same.
I mean, listen to this thing. I don't know if you can hear it from there, but
oh, I can, yeah.
Insane. I love it. It's excellent, but it is very loud.
Are you
I don't notice it either because I'm wearing headphones when I use it.
Yeah.
But anytime anyone else is in the room, they're like, what the hell is that?
Is that the Huntsman still?
Yeah.
I want to get that keyboard one day. Unless there's a better one.
That's a good one. Let's see. What happened in Sony's State of Play? I missed it completely.
Oh God, I didn't actually look into this. This is not good. Forgive us.
Yeah, go for that keyboard, man.
State of Play. I know they announced. They talked about Monster Hunter World Iceborne. So that's okay. The expansion coming to that game. It's launching in October. And it's basically just like a snowy environment. Like, you know how there's different environments in that game?
Yeah.
And there's going to be like a snowy one with some new monsters. I think they're adding G rank, which is like the top rank of monsters that you can go kill. One sec. I know they announced another game too, but it was nothing like huge. It was definitely better than the last one they did, but it wasn't like, oh, here's a, you know, Death Stranding gameplay and release date. There was nothing like that.
Right. I really get the feeling, man, that game's going to just be the biggest flop on the planet.
What's
gameplay wise? I don't know why I feel that way. Yeah, I don't have any faith in that game at all.
You mean like a flop in a sense that where it's not going to sell or it's just going to be disappointing?
No, I mean, it's going to sell for sure because it's Hideo Kojima, but I can't imagine how, from what I've seen so far, that it's going to even impress anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there'll be those that be like, it's Hideo Kojima, it's the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. And people try to explain whatever it is, but I get the feeling that I don't even think he knows what it is. He's just rambling.
I think he does. I think he's just having trouble explaining what it is.
I want to become a believer in Hideo Kojima. Of course, I have been in the past of Metal Gear Solid 5, but I was swiftly corrected by Metal Gear fans that is not a good Metal Gear game, but I enjoyed it.
I mean, it was good in the sense that like it's a fun game to play, but it didn't necessarily have the best narrative or made the most sense, I guess.
Yeah.
But so. here's a couple things that happened. They I think the same team that made Friday the 13th announced a new game called Predator Hunting Grounds, which was revealed during State of Play. And I'm not sure when that's coming out. But it's basically just the same kind of game, but in the Predator universe. So that's pretty cool, I guess, if you're into that kind of game.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
I never really played Friday the 13th, and I'm not sure like why they stopped. I guess they're not supporting that game anymore. I don't really know. But it's cool if you like, you know, those 1v4, whatever, those hunting style games being hunted.
Yeah, my only experience with those was last year, The Nightmare by that indie studio.
Yeah, Preston, yeah.
And I played that for a little while. It was actually pretty fun, but I like the idea of Predator. That could be really cool. Did they show gameplay or just announce it?
I think there was just a trailer, but there might have been gameplay in it.
Because that has a lot of potential.
Yeah, for sure. A game called, or I guess it's Medieval is Unearthed. I guess it's like a re-release.
I've heard of
Medieval.
That, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we got a new trailer for Final Fantasy VII. Did you see that?
I did not watch it.
What?
Dude, I don't have much interest. I'm going to play because I feel like I need to, but I have not watched it yet.
Are you telling me you're not interested in Final Fantasy VII?
I mean, I'm interested in the sense that I feel like it's very nostalgic for people and it's a very famous Final Fantasy game.
Yeah.
So I'm going to probably play it eventually when it comes out, but I mean, I've never been that interested in Final Fantasy to begin with.
Okay, Garrett, so. I'm not really into your attitude right now, okay?
Yeah.
So
I'm going to watch it, though. I'll watch it after this podcast. How about that?
Yeah, how about you go play Final Fantasy 15 again?
Yeah, it's my favorite game ever. It looks beautiful from like the frame grabs and stuff I've seen.
Yeah, yeah. But there was a couple other things that happened, but I have no idea what they are, so we're not even going to mention them.
Okay. I know Cloud's in the game. I know that much.
That's true, yeah. Also Sephiroth.
Yep.
He's a real bitch to fight in Kingdom Hearts.
Yes, he is.
God, I hated that fight. Anyways, that's what happened.
I also read that,
Naughty Dog was looking to hire some staff to, quote, wrap up Last of Us or something like that.
Interesting. I didn't hear that.
So I don't know if that's an effort for a final push to get it out by the end of the year or if it's a final push to get it out by spring. I don't know. But it looks like they're hiring some mercenaries, some extra guns to get through it.
It appears so. I really don't expect it to come out this year.
Yeah, perhaps it's in the polishing phase. I would hope so.
Yeah,
I don't expect it to either. That'd be a nice treat at the end of the year. I guess we still don't know what Sony's going to have on their slate for, at the very least, the holiday season.
I don't know if they have anything, honestly.
So.
They've never needed it. This generation.
We are at the tail end of a generation too, so I don't feel like it's that big of a deal. But knowing Sony, you know, I not really knowing Sony, just big companies in general, you'd think they'd want to have something toward the end of the year,
sure,
especially the holiday season. So I don't know what
I
that could
like
be.
Sony
Dreams
more,
version 1.0.
Yeah, that's true. Dreams still needs to come out. It's in early access right now.
Dude, the little things I'm seeing from people create in that game are mind blowing.
Yeah, have you seen anything that stands out?
I know we saw the Metal Gear thing someone was working on. I think someone's trying to recreate Metal Gear Solid 1. I saw the Silent Hill bit. That's what's fascinating to me about that game is what other people will create in it. I mean, I know that's like the whole idea behind it, but I'd like to see someone create something truly original that becomes like its own thing out of Dreams.
Oh, 100%.
Like instead of a bunch of remakes and stuff, like that's cool. It's probably a good way to practice the game too and get a feel for it, but I'd love to see someone create like an entirely original game out of it.
Yeah, that,
I think that's a matter of time too. That's inevitable.
Sure, that's how like a game like PUBG
inevitable.
That's how a game like PUBG came to be because it came out of making a game within another game. You know,
right?
And I think that's even how I think it started at H1 actually. Where I think that was made out of Arma. And yeah, so I'm definitely all aboard on that.
All aboard!
Boop, boop.
What else we got going on?
I don't know.
this kind of ties into Game of Thrones. We're going to talk about the most recent Game of Thrones episode called The Bells. At the very end of the podcast, we'll do a spoiler review / final predictions for the series finale. But that'll be even after community questions. You can listen to the entirety of the podcast, all the community questions, and as a bonus segment at the end, if you want to stick around and you've seen the episode, going to talk about it. But I must say, just as a precursor to that, that I do not have the utmost faith in those writers anymore to do a Star Wars trilogy, which I'll explain. And I'm sure there are definitely explanations as to how that episode played out. Preston and I actually talked about it at length last night, and come around on the episode. The episode, at first, I was like, man, this totally has a Mass Effect 3/Last Jedi vibe to it, and I'm not digging it. But the more I've thought about it, the more I've kind of come around to accepting, well, it is what it is, and we'll see how it plays out. But
yeah, at first I was upset, but I'm just kind of like, you know, whatever, it is what it is.
Yeah. Many thoughts to share later on, though, because at the end of the day, even the spectacle of the episode was enjoyable.
Oh, yeah, there was definitely cool moments.
Yeah, but we'll talk about it at the end, so we're excited about that. But speaking of that, the reason I bring that up is because the writers are presumably working on the Star Wars trilogy that's been slated all the way out until 2022 or beginning in 2022.
I thought Rian Johnson was working on those.
That's what I thought. But I know these guys are working on a series too, of films, and specifically.
Yeah. You think that's too soon for a new trilogy?
I mean, if they wait till 2022, I mean, this last one in the Skywalker saga is coming out in 2019. I mean, that's 2021. That's like 3 years away. So I imagine Disney's going to rely on, there are other properties, obviously, for film, but they have Star Wars coming to Disney Plus. So I feel like they're going to let that ride away for maybe a few seasons leading up to the next trilogy of films.
Sure.
And I think 3 years is a solid break. I think by then I'd be ready for another Star Wars film. I hope Episode 9 blows our minds and leaves us wanting more.
I do too, Garrett.
But not in the sense of story. Like, I don't want a cliffhanger, obviously. They wouldn't do that. But as far as just Star Wars films, I would hope that it would leave me wanting more.
Yeah, I just hope they don't just milk this into the ground. I don't want to dislike Star Wars.
Yeah, I think they know that too, because they've come not necessarily close to milking it with this trilogy. Because I mean, we've had a film come out once every 2 years, which is solid. It's funny. My fear was that, you know, like, oh, they're going to milk Star Wars, I'm going to get tired of it. But I never expected them to craft a story that I found just truly dissatisfying.
Yeah.
I would have rather them milked it and it'd been a good story than me be disappointed by the direction they've taken. Now, I have, like we've said in the past, I'm not going to ramble on this because we've said it 1,000 times. I have faith in JJ to kind of turn things around. But I don't know for certain. I just hope it's good. And I hope the next trilogy, whether it be Rian Johnson or these writers from I almost called it Games of Thrones. Of Game of Thrones, deliver. Kind of like the Hideo Kojima situation. I don't have total faith in either of them yet, but I hope I'm wrong. I'm always down to be wrong.
I like what you just said about the characters, how you weren't like super interested in them. Like, I feel like this is the first time where I haven't really cared about the cast that much. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, even in the prequels, like, I really loved some of those characters. But this time around, like, I care about a few of them, maybe, but most of them are just kind of meh. You know, don't really care.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of in the same boat with you. But we don't have to talk about that right now.
Oh, buddy.
What's our next news nugget?
Apparently there's a bill trying to be passed for a ban on loot boxes in the United States. I'm way too lazy to read about that because I don't care.
It is a congressman and he wants there to be no loot boxes, which is, you know, admirable, depending on who you ask. A lot of probably, games depend on
loot,
that.
The loot gods are probably not kind to him in his drops, or the RNG gods.
That's what it is. Yeah, he's salty.
Yep. So they effed with the wrong congressman.
But I think it's just targeted at underage gamers, which is, you know, it's fair. You know, kids shouldn't be swiping their parents' cards to get that sweet loot.
Yeah, well, maybe cards should keep a better eye on their parents.
Okay, that's a good point, Gary.
Parents should keep a better eye on their cards.
We don't have to spend too much time talking about it. I just want to, like, hear your thoughts in terms of, like, do you think the U.S. needs regulation in terms of loot boxes?
No.
No?
No.
What about even kids?
Government regulations for stuff like this is just silly.
Yeah, you think it's, like, in the parents' responsibility?
I mean, whatever happened to effing personal responsibility, people?
Sure.
Get a hold of yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say.
I don't know. I guess with, like, the regulation, it just makes it so that's not even a thing. you know, mm-hmm. that parents have to worry about. I mean, there you can make arguments for both sides. It's really just how you view things, right?
Yes.
But I'm kind of with you.
I personally prefer to rely on myself over the government. Of course, the services provided by the government for daily life are convenient, you know. Like filling potholes, for example. That's nice.
Yeah.
Things like that, like necessary government amenities are cool, but stuff like this I think is totally ridiculous. So you do you, brah, but I ain't into it.
Sure, sure.
Anyway, this John Wick game's coming out. Not the John Wick game I don't think anyone expected, but certainly an interesting concept. Have you read into it?
Just a tiny bit. I'm hoping you know a little more than I do.
I don't.
Oh, God.
It's coming to PC, or at least the PC version's exclusive to the Epic Games Store. No surprise there.
Nice.
It's sort of like a puzzle shooter.
I was hearing someone talk about it in a sense like you kind of make decisions and that kind of determines how it plays out.
This article actually comes from Eddie Mackick of GameSpot. It says it's described as a, quote, fight choreographed chess brought to life as a video game.
Okay.
A game which was developed in cooperation with the minds behind the film series aims to capture the series' signature gun-fu style while expanding the story's universe. Okay, it says players must choose every action and attack they make while considering their immediate cost and consequences. Every move in John Wick Hex feels like a scene from the movies, and every fight contributes to your progress on the job and requires precise strategic thinking. And it features an original story separate from the film series. Cool. I might try it out.
And this sounds pretty neat.
It sounds like something I'd like to play on Switch. Is it coming to Switch? Let's see.
I don't know.
It doesn't say.
Maybe it's just on the Epic Games Store.
Perhaps. Which, that's fine, too.
Epic's getting everything. They're gobbling all the games up.
They have. They've harnessed the industry in the palm of their hand. They're acquiring the affinity stones of the industry.
So, since we're on the subject, do you think Steam will change their...
policy?
In terms of how much they pay.
Revenue and stuff?
Yeah. I feel like it's going to get to a point where they need to. You know, especially if Epic starts adding a bunch of features that people want to their launcher or their store, like it's just going to be a better decision to go to Epic no matter what at that point.
Right.
Especially if they both have the same games or if Epic just has all the games, you know. So I expect Steam to do something eventually, but they're being very quiet through all this.
Right. I just remembered I've had people get upset in the past when we're yawning too much, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah, fuck them.
If I had time to edit the podcast in depth and edit out all the yawns, I would, but I don't. So I apologize for the yawning. I'm doing my best. I just downed this cup of coffee. Hasn't done much for me. I have to refill before we get to community questions. But speaking of John Wick, that sounds pretty cool to me. I'm definitely going to try it out. I would love like an Arkham-style John Wick game. I know that's kind of... on the nose, and people have said that 1,000 times, but I still am convinced that could be really, really cool.
Yeah. Gary, we need to go see Detective Pikachu and John Wick 3.
I agree. Yeah, I definitely want to see Detective Pikachu. Preston said he liked it. He said he didn't love it as much as he thought he would, but he did like all the Pokemon in it.
Yeah.
So I look forward to seeing it. And John Wick Chapter 3 has sky-high reviews. I think IGN actually had one of the lower reviews I've seen, but the people I trust most on YouTube are pretty excited about it, so I'm very excited to see that.
Sure.
So I love the first two.
You let me know when you can go see a movie, and I'll see if I can make it.
Okay. You know, oddly enough, Jacob, I could go tonight if you're available.
Let me get back to you. It depends how long I work.
Okay. I could always meet you in like Alpharetta, like at the Avalon or something if you wanted to.
Okay. Yeah. I'll definitely, but what do you want to see?
I guess we'd have to see Pikachu because John Wick doesn't come out until this weekend, I think.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
So
I will get back to you.
I'm up for some Pokemon if you are.
I hope I can go.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I await your call.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Well, I think that's all we had in our notes. I don't think I had anything else really significant.
Yeah, I know. The news is kind of slow lately. E3's coming up. We're about to get a big explosion of news. Yeah. But I hope you guys love that tasty, informative coverage.
Totally, man.
You get
totally.
The best coverage here on It's Obvious Gaming.
Your only place for news. On that note, Jacob, I think it's best we jump into community questions.
Oh, nice. I love that.
Yeah, me too, man. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your continued support of this podcast, writing in and week out with an abundance of wonderful questions for us to read on the podcast. If you'd like your question read on this show, you can reach us in one of three places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming or submit your questions in the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel. And always include the hashtag AskIOG if you want your question read publicly on air. That being said, first one comes from the Scarlet Speedster himself, Sam Harris. He says, guys, I saw the Sonic trailer this week, and I'm not okay. I don't feel well, Mr. Overlords. Anyway, the Detective Pikachu and Sonic coming out this year, it seems studios are trying their hand at video game movies. If one of these movies do well, both financially and critically, will other studios take the risk and attempt their own gambit? Also, we still haven't heard about that Super Mario Bros. Movie being produced by Illumination Studios of Minions and Despicable Me fame. Will this movie still be made? And will these two movies affect its production? Have a great week. Love you, bros. Well, Sam Harris, we love you too. I know the Sonic trailer is kind of old news at this point, but we have not discussed it on the podcast. I'm interested to hear your thoughts, Jacob. Have we talked about this?
I don't think so.
I think the trailer came out days after we recorded episode 200.
Yeah.
It looks bad.
Yeah.
But
looks terrible.
And not just Sonic himself, but the whole movie just looks awful. Now, good on him for the director and the studio being willing to alter his design.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's only going to go so far. I mean, sure, Sonic may look awesome. Mm-hmm. And of course, I still want to see it anyway, because I like Jim Carrey and it's a video game movie. So I'm interested in that aspect. But even if Sonic looks like video game accurate, I still think the movie looks pretty bad. Hopefully I'm wrong about that, too. Because obviously it's aimed for kids, I'd imagine. I highly doubt they had just an entirely adult audience in mind.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not a director or anything. I'm not a writer, but I don't understand why they didn't just make a Sonic game into a movie. Like, why did they have to do this whole like buddy cop
like
thing?
Live action?
Yeah, no, not live action. Just like they're like making a buddy cop movie where like Sonic's working with like the police the whole movie. Like, what are you? Oh, yeah. What is this?
the military's there working with like Dr. Robotnik and everything.
Like, why not just make a Sonic movie in like Sonic's world? I don't know.
And just make it animated. I mean, look how cool Into the Spider-Verse was. Sure. You don't have to have everything live action.
I did see like a concept of like, you know how Sonic looks, just Sonic, and then
right.
Like, he just looked furry, like kind of how mm-hmm. he looks in the trailer. But like, it looked good because he looked like Sonic. Like, he had his eyes, like he looked normal.
His big Cyclops eye.
Instead of like the raccoon or whatever he looks like.
Right.
Looks so bad.
With the teeth and the lips and the fingers and everything.
Oh, my God.
And that weird body that kind of, it's like a V shape or something. It's so bizarre. dude, PewDiePie's video came out with a couple days ago where he redesigns Sonic is the funniest thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, there's like Dr. Phil Sonic, Shrek Sonic, SpongeBob Sonic. So good.
Highly recommend that.
I definitely should just hire PewDiePie to redesign Sonic instead of just the studio itself, because he really killed it.
Oh, he's good at Photoshop for sure.
Yep.
I was going to bring up, I have a couple questions on our Facebook. So.
Oh, perfect. Let's hear them.
Okay. First one is from Kelly Harmon. And they go, where are the podcasts?
Yeah.
I assume they watch on YouTube. And if that's the case, sorry. Haven't had time to upload them on YouTube. They've been on Apple Podcasts for the last month or two. And Google Play and all those. But YouTube's been lacking a little bit. We're going to have 201 this week's episode on YouTube for sure. And yeah, sorry, schedules have been really taxing and busy, so we're trying to get back to a place where we get one every single week.
Yeah, which is happening at the end of the month for sure. We'll be back on track.
And then also Matthew Durkin asked a question. This is actually a really old one. I don't think we answered it, but I'm gonna read it anyway. He goes, hey boys,
bow.
Played Days Gone for 8 hours last night. I'm in love. Anxiety simulator, call it. It has technical issues, though. What patch updates from Studio Ben would you like to see? Neither of us have played this game, so might not be able to answer this, but passion we use in developing the game, and there's so much more potential for updates. Thanks, y'all. Remember, keep on dreaming, even if it breaks your heart. Eli Young, Ben.
Right. Well, Eli, thank you for your question. I am actually really excited to play Days Gone based on one, Preston's opinion, and others. It seems like the public response has been really positive versus the critical, which has been pretty middle of the road. But I think I'm going to have a lot of fun with that game. And I'm hoping to have some... I wouldn't give anything just to have a full week off to play through a game like that, which I'm hoping to have at the beginning of the summer. But I want to play that in Rage. I don't know which one I'm going to play first. Probably Rage because I hear it's much shorter. Mm-hmm. But I have every intention of playing Days Gone, definitely. I'm excited about it.
I feel you.
Yeah. And maybe by then they'll have patched it a bit where there's some holes in the ship. And it'll be, what's the word I'm looking for? Ship shape is what I'm looking for by the time I get to it. So, yeah, are you going to play it, Jacob?
No. I might play Rage 2, not Days Gone.
I feel you. Next one comes from Baked Jake 23. You've been a Baked Jake in the past, haven't you?
Maybe.
Oh, maybe, dude.
Who's to say?
Yeah, just got my first platinum. Never cared about trophies before, you damn cock rockers. Laugh all you want, but I got it from Spider-Man. What's everyone's first platinum?
My first platinum.
And Spider-Man's one of the best platinums out there. I'd say top three platinums, do that, do Ratchet and Clank, and if you like Horizon Zero Dawn, it seems to be cool to hate on Horizon Zero Dawn these days or call it overrated, which I can see the argument there. But I really enjoyed platinuming Horizon as well.
I think that's just a vocal minority in the Discord. I think Horizon is a great game.
Yeah.
I enjoy
it. But also on Twitter, I've seen that recently too.
Oh, really? I think my first one was The Order 1886.
Oh, yeah. I never got around to platinuming that one. Maybe I did platinum that one.
I think you did.
One.
I think we all did. It was very
easy.
Yeah,
I think we may have.
Like, it was stupid easy.
If that wasn't my first, I think Far Cry 4 may have been. One of the two.
Yeah. I think, like, the hardest thing was just going through the levels and finding collectibles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very easy.
Yep.
There wasn't even a difficulty trophy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the three of us still stand by the fact that game deserves a sequel.
Yeah.
And I will say, when I went back to play it out of curiosity a few months ago, I was not impressed.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is pretty boring.
Mm.
But hopefully... I think it was the world and the story I was most interested in, and gameplay was very much been there, done that.
Yeah.
Not innovative or even inspired in the slightest, but I still think it's worth exploring. Next one comes from Elder Uzumaki. Hey guys, been listening for about 2 years now and haven't found another podcast that I like even close to yours.
Hey, thanks.
I've never asked anything before, more of a quiet listener. So I was curious on how much longer you guys think we will keep getting new consoles. I personally think we will move to a PC-based system in the future. Well, I think that answer will be... I can't speak today, Jacob. I think the course of the console generations will be a little more clear upon the official announcement of the next PlayStation and Xbox and exactly what it is they are. Now, the specs that Sony have released concerning it seem to be in line with the current structure of consoles, where it's kind of like a package deal and you get what you get, and that's kind of how it is for the entirety of the generation. But we've yet to see if these consoles will become modifiable. Is that a word?
Yeah. Sure.
I can't imagine that being the case. I don't know why I feel that way, but I don't know. But why do we do a podcast again? I can't even speak. my brain's going in a million different directions. We might move to, I know we've talked about this a lot in the past. We may move to a PC-based system. I'm kind of open to anything. It doesn't really make a difference to me anymore, especially because I've definitely moved on to PC entirely. Now, of course, I still love the PlayStation ecosystem, and I have every intention of playing Halo Infinite probably on PC at this point. So Xbox is probably out of my life for good. But PlayStation, man, if they're still cranking out those unbelievably awesome exclusives, I'm always going to be PlayStation gamer for sure.
Oh, yeah. I am of the mindset that this next generation will be like the last traditional generation, if that makes sense. Like, we might still have boxes two generations from now, but I I like to hope for a future where it is more of a PC-based system. And if it's not that, then it's more of a streaming-based console. In like a sense where the box isn't really... It's not really about buying the box anymore. It's just like about buying the infrastructure. And I'm hoping that broadband and internet can be at a point in like 5 to 10 years where everyone has pretty decent connection across a good majority of the developed world. And, you know, we're not having like latency problems and stuff like that. And I have to hope that there's a future like that, not too far away. Cause I mean, that's the most ideal thing, right? It's not having to like buy new hardware, just, you know, being able to download or not even download, just like stream something and just play it instantly, whether it's on a phone or whatever you have. I just feel like that's a fun future to think about. And that's where I hope we move towards, which it seems like we are. We're taking the first few steps with like Google Stadia and whatever Xbox is up to. So I'm excited. Certainly. Thanks, Elder Uzumaki.
Yes, thank you, sir. Or ma'am. Kyle writes in, Bohongeles. He says, hey, fellas, there has been an interesting development surrounding Borderlands 3 as we get closer to its launch. Randy Pitchford recently said at the gameplay reveal for the game that the game would contain, quote, no microtransactions, and then align that statement to what we see constantly in the F2P models, free-to-play models, with loot boxes and premium currencies. Turns out that Borderlands most certainly does have microtransactions in the form of cosmetic gear for characters, much like Borderlands 2. While I don't have a problem with a company further monetizing a game, this event has got me thinking. As companies hear more and more flack against microtransactions, we have started to see them shift borders on what's considered a microtransaction to get away from the negative PR surrounding the phrase. I find it interesting that with all this, the cosmetic purchases that will be available in Borderlands 3 are actively being pushed by the team. Gearbox is stuck. By the team surrounding the game as not being microtransactions because the intention of the team is to not, quote, nickel and dime its audience. I'm happy to see Gearbox has stuck true to the original looter shooter formula instead of giving it a games as a service model for their new release. But seeing the team try and change the meaning of a microtransaction seems shady to me in practice. What do you boys think? I'd rather a team be upfront with me about microtransactions and then trying to change the meaning in order to make themselves look better. Love you guys to death, and I'm glad we can officially announce Jacob as part of the Shield Hero crew. A more important question, Jacob, who is best girl? Answer that, I'm going to go get more coffee. I'll be right back.
Okay. Definitely not mine, or whoever that redhead chick is. Hate her. Capital H-A-T-E. Hate that woman. I would say best girl is probably Raftilia. The chick that he meets first. By the way, chat, if you guys have not watched Rising of the Shield Hero, it's an anime. It's on Crunchyroll. I'm sure it's on other services. It is great. You should watch it. It is so good. Definitely listen to Kyle when he recommends you a show. It is good stuff. I think you'll like it.
Dude, I just had an epiphany wash over me.
Okay.
I think I might be able to get away with skipping my class today.
Are you going to do it?
I might, dude. I'd rather just, because I have the whole day off, why would I not just enjoy my morning and play Rage for a few hours, go exercise, and just live my life?
Do it, man. You deserve a day off.
And think about this. I thought about this. The only reason I go is so I don't garner too many absences, and I have not paid attention to a single word in that class all quarter. So I just have to study for the final and pass, hopefully. But
all right.
Aside from that, I have no reason to go. I'm going to check my absences. If I only have two absences, I'm going to go. If I have three, I have to go.
What time is your class?
If I get more than four absences, I fail the course automatically. But if I only have two in there, gosh darn it, Jacob, I'm playing some Rage this morning.
What time is your class?
I certainly hope that's the case. But we'll see.
What time is the class?
It's at 11 a.m.
Oh.
So, I mean, end of the day, it's not that big of a deal, but I'd much rather just hang out here. But we'll see. Did you mention who the best girl is?
I did. Have you watched
the
show?
Who's the best girl? I have, and it's been hard for me to stick with it because I don't have, a premium account with Crunchyroll.
Oh, I don't
know. How much is a Crunchyroll account per month?
I don't know. How much is the commercials?
Is it less than $10?
I have no idea.
Okay, because those commercials, man, those ads are excessive.
Yeah, see, I like
it reminds me of the CW app where I quit watching all those shows because the ads were just too much.
Yeah. I do other things during the ads, so I'm not like going crazy.
All right, I may eventually watch the rest of Arrow on Netflix if it ever makes it its way there. I know most of the seasons are on there, but
why would you do that?
I don't know, just something about that show was just appealing to me. Even the bad seasons, I just kind of liked the characters and the actors, and it was fine. But if I didn't have to sit through a bunch of ads, I think I'd be more willing to watch those shows.
Sure. But yeah, I definitely recommend you keep watching Shield Hero.
I love the first episode a lot. I'm not denying that the show's cool, because I definitely was hooked with the first episode. It's just those ads are killing me.
Without like spoiling anything, I think it's like, I love how he's like just beaten up from the start, and he has to kind of bring him like rise to the occasion.
Yeah, and I love the video game aspect too. I didn't expect that going into the show. I had no idea what to expect, so it's pretty cool.
How many episodes have you watched?
Just one.
Okay, dude. Oh, I wish I could be you.
Why?
There's just so much good coming your way.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm excited. Cool. Yeah.
Let me know what you think about it in the future.
Yeah, I will.
But going back to Borderlands and the whole microtransaction situation, did you hear about any of this? Like Randy Pitchford getting on stage during the gameplay reveal and being like, there's no microtransactions in this game, but there actually is.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Like, I think he just meant like there's no loot boxes. There's none of like that kind of microtransactions, but you can still buy microtransactions that are not like game breaking. I think it's just a bunch of cosmetic stuff, which is fine, but I guess he just got up there and people had a problem with him saying that when there are actually microtransactions. And it just seems like people have different definitions of what that is. And I don't like really see it as like a business trying to be shady. I think it's more of just like just what I said, that people have different definitions of what it is. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we should excuse his mistake. I mean, he should be called out for it. And as we all know, Randy Pitchford on Twitter and social media is a an interesting subject that we can get into another time. But I don't really see like any harm here. I mean, I think he meant well. I really do think that, because they got the team up on stage, the whole Borderlands team during that event, and you could tell like how proud the team was of making the game. So don't let like Randy Pitchford's like misinformation about microtransactions like affect you about buying this game, or you know, all the negative PR that's surrounding the whole issue, and not just like this issue, but everything about the game. Maybe Randy Pitchford is a problem in terms of the company and this game, but I mean, I don't know. I don't really have a whole problem with any of this. I know I think it was a writer at Game Informer that Randy Pitchford went after because he questioned Randy on this whole issue, and then they got into it a little bit, but.
Randy.
I don't really see this as a big issue.
I pretty much echo what you said. It's whatever.
Yeah. But thank you for the question, Kyle.
Fribes writes in and says, "Hey there, cool guys. Time for some potty talk. What's y'all's opinion on bidets? Have you ever tried one?"
Bidets.
I've not tried one.
Is it bidet or bidet?
It's bidet.
Okay. I thought it was bidet.
No. Sound like pronouncing Arkham Arkham.
Yeah, Arkham.
Arkham City.
And naked.
Yeah, naked.
That was fun fact, my dad actually says naked. So I was like, wow, maybe I'm wrong.
I've not tried a bidet. No.
I have not
opposed to trying one.
It looks like fun, you know?
Yeah. It looks like a lot of fun.
Sitting there getting your ass splattered. That's great.
Well, hold on. We're thinking of the same thing right now.
Wait, what is it?
It's like a pad or something.
Wait, what's the thing that like your bidet's bottom?
Plumbing fixture, type of sink intended for washing the genitalia. Yeah, that's the one that sprays you.
Yeah.
No, I've not tried one. I'm totally open to it though.
I've never even seen one in person. So
I think they're popular in Europe, if I'm not mistaken.
I know you can just buy one for your home toilet.
My ass was not sprayed in England when I was there, but
did you really
should I ever have
then?
That encounter? I hope I'm aware of it before it happens, or maybe it'd be better if it's a surprise, but
yeah,
we'll see.
Garrett, is it really fair to say you even went if you never got your ass cleaned by a bidet?
By a toilet. Yeah, you're right, man. I didn't have tea either, so have I actually been to England?
I don't think you were actually in England. You were somewhere else.
So when I was in Wisconsin, it's just a long flight. He says, I just installed one 2 weeks ago and it's a game changer. Oh. I've never before had such a clean feeling bum. I recall a recent episode in which Garrett talked about sometimes standing to wipe. That's wild. Maybe you can invest in a bidet and join the clean asshole master race. Stay fresh. Looking forward to the next episode of Ask IOG. Yeah, we'll get one of those out when the summer rolls around.
I mean, I guess a bidet is just a better wipe, like whatever they're called, wipes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of like,
yeah, it depends on the
material.
Size of the toilet for me, whether I'm sitting or standing to wipe. But fortunately, the toilets in my life currently are large enough to remain sitting. Mm-hmm. But in the past, man, that old apartment we lived in, munchkin toilets, especially the one in mine and Preston's restroom, man, it was tiny.
So I was at our good friend Elliot's apartment a couple weekends ago. Dude, his toilet is a little midget toilet.
How does he fit on it?
I don't know. That's what I was wondering, because he's huge.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny.
Well, I know his pain. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like this next question, by the way.
All right, pick one on your pizza. This comes from Carlos Perez. Pineapple or chocolate?
God. Can we just die?
Yeah. In that case, man, I'd take the pineapple.
Yeah. Don't put chocolate on my pizza.
Yeah,
unless
I'm gonna
it's
pass
like
on
a dessert
chocolate.
Pizza.
Maybe don't put carrots on my pizza either.
Wait, who puts carrots?
Told you in England, but the pizza had carrots on it.
I thought that sounded familiar.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah, I'd take the pineapple over the chocolate any day.
Same.
Wait, side question to the homie above. Who's the weirdo that wears socks when they go to bed?
Not me. That is really weird, and you're a freak if you do that.
On some extremely cold nights, if it's super cold in the house I'm staying at, I'll wear socks, but
right, you're
if it has to be very, very cold in the house.
Garrett, I don't think I can do this with you anymore.
I'm sorry, man. Well, have you never been in a cold enough house where you have to bundle up even with covers and stuff?
I don't put socks
on. Believe it or not,
on.
I've been in a house so cold that it would blow your mind. My grandparents' house, I swear it was like walking into the North Pole.
I mean, I woke up this morning and I was freezing like profusely, but I did not put socks on.
Yep.
I mean, I'll like wear a shirt and I'll wear layers of clothes, but I'll never put socks on. I don't know why.
Okay.
It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah. I gotta clarify. Like, I maybe worn socks to bed maybe twice in my life, but they're on very, very cold nights.
Yeah. Like, I wear socks around the house. Like, I don't have a problem with that. It's just getting under the covers is, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm alone in thinking that.
On that note, Kinder Egg, or is it Kinder Egg? I always get that confused. As someone who was in Birmingham recently, Garrett, did you hear the Birmingham accent, and did it give you a flipping headache? Now, just directed at all three, what's the worst accent you've ever heard? I'm not a fan of most accents, if you're being honest. I don't want to say which ones. I don't want to upset anyone. But there are many accents I find not entirely appealing.
I don't think the, I guess it's the northern U.S. accent, like the Nebraska, the Fargo.
And Fargo, yeah, that's really bad.
No offense if you live around that area.
Yeah, that's got to be one of them. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like listening to it, but I wouldn't say I'd live in and around that accent 24/7.
Someone write in and say if they hate southern accents, because that would be us.
Oh, brother.
Even if
we don't have southern
it,
accents.
We have that accent.
I'm hit or miss with my southern accents, but yeah. Birmingham accent. I can't do it specifically, but I heard quite a bit of Birmingham accents while I was there. No, I was at a NASCAR race after all.
Is that how they talk?
You know, southern accent's pretty nuanced. There's variations of it, but
yeah.
I heard some Birmingham accents, that's for sure, when I was in Talladega recently. And I was also in Tuscaloosa not long after that.
Talladega.
I spent a lot of time in Alabama recently.
I guess so.
But, yeah. Worst accent? Don't know. Yeah, you have a worst accent, Jacob?
No.
Me neither. Thank you, Kinder Egg. Fribes is back. Never mind. That's he's responding to that question. Girth Brooks 92 writes in and says, "Hola, boys.
Bye.
I was arguing with my roommate at the bar for way too long last night and was curious about your input. Would you rather be able to control your bowel movements, but it could come out of any random orifice, not of your choosing, or be unable to control your bowel movements, meaning you could shit your pants at any or be unable to control your bowel movements, meaning you could shit your pants at any moment of the day?" Yeah. I would do that second one and just wear diapers, like Frosty Shake says.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But if you chose the first one, at least you could, like, get out of the room or wherever you were just to make sure no one sees it, right? If you, like,
drop
can't
a load out of
your bowel
movements, right
nostril, you just shit all the time. And then you, like, you have to smell it all day because you're wearing a diaper. You know? I mean, obviously, neither situation is ideal. Both of them suck.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you can control your bowel movements, that makes sense. Sure, I'd go with that
But
one.
You might shit out of your mouth. You know,
you won the debate, Jacob. I agree with you.
It's hard to choose. I don't know if I could choose. Do I have to? Like, is that
tell me you don't like to sit in your shit all day?
I mean, I guess I would choose to control it and just shit out my ears, you know? So wherever it goes, it could go out the pee hole, the mouth, the ears, the eyes. You could shit out your eyes. Can you imagine? That would be
pretty
painful.
Pretty intense, man. I'm not into that.
I can't even handle like a hair in my eye.
Yep.
But thank you for the great question, Girth Brooks.
Yeah, I love that. Well, Jacob, I think that'll wrap up the podcast itself, but we can talk about Game of Thrones if you'd like.
Oh. Well, do we want to like sign out here or do we want to just like jump into the end?
Yeah, I was going to say to those of you that are have not seen the episode and prefer to check out, can't thank you enough for tuning in and for your community questions. And again, we apologize for the inconsistency, F me, of the podcast. And I apologize for being so sleepy this morning. But we will be back on track and energetic and chipper at the end of this month. So, yeah, thank you guys so much for the continued support. We love you to bits, and we will catch you next time. But if you're sticking around, we're going to talk some Thrones.
Oh, baby.
I'd love to hear from you first, Jacob.
Okay, so just to be clear, this is the beginning of our spoiler discussion on episode 5, right?
Correct.
Of Game of Thrones season 8? I don't even know. The newest season. Well, you know, last week's episode. Garrett, the writing is questionable. Obviously, everything feels very rushed. Because there's only 6 episodes, and that breaks my heart. It really does, because there's just so much happening that needs to be explained more. And I typically don't say that in a show, because most shows, they spend too long going into drama and all this garbage. But this show is having the opposite problem, where they need more time to develop these storylines because everything's happening so quickly. And because of that, like, a lot of characters are doing things that I don't really understand, and I don't know. Like, I'm still enjoying the show because I love Game of Thrones. Like, I love the world they built, the characters that they've built as well. I don't know. Like, there's problems that I have, and without really like getting too much into it right here at the start. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I think I, without saying it out loud, realized that this season kind of sucks. And I didn't even think the previous season sucked, but I saw what people were saying. Like, this feels very rushed right now, but I didn't really mind it. But I'm really feeling it this season. And whether it's a testament to the writers wanting to move on to Star Wars, I've heard varying rumors. I don't know what's true and what isn't, but I've heard that HBO offered them 10 episodes and they wanted to do it in 6. I've heard the opposite, where they wanted to do it in 10 and HBO only offered them 6. I've heard that the cast wanted it to be over, and that's part of it. I don't know if it's a budgeting thing, but it doesn't seem to be a budgeting thing with this episode visual effects wise. But I have definitely not really been that into the season at all. I thought the whole Winter is Coming was just completely shafted in one episode. Hopefully I'm wrong. I mean, it could be, they could turn things around in this final episode. We don't know.
Yeah.
But everything's felt rushed. Character arcs have seemed thrown to the wayside in some sense. I think just the most dissatisfying one I've seen is the death of Jaime and Cersei.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like I feel like both of them should have had more interesting ends.
I get personally. Why Jaime went back, but I don't understand why everything was built with Brienne, and then why he died down there with Cersei like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, everyone's saying like, oh, he has a tragic ending because while he did have this big arc and he changed, at the end of the day, he still loves Cersei and he went back to be with her to die. Cool, I guess, man. But I honestly didn't feel anything in that moment when they died. I just didn't care at that point.
Yeah, because no one cares about Cersei.
Right. Who else died in this episode? A lot of people died.
The
Hound died. That was a pretty cool fight, though, between the Hound and the Mountain.
The Hound was good. I like what they did with the Hound and the Mountain. Like, that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't expect Cersei to do nothing. Like, that was their defense. Like, she was so, like, blinded by her rule and the walls of the kingdom that she just thought it wasn't going to fall. Like, they got demolished.
Yeah.
It was pathetic.
So.
Like, I don't know. That's not, like, a huge problem, but...
Mm-hmm.
What else did I have a problem with?
What's that guy's name? Euros? The bad pirate guy.
I think it's like
Euron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
thought it was so funny when
Jaime,
like, Jaime's on the beach and just like waltzes out of the ocean, like, King's Lair. Like, you gotta be kidding me. I don't know what the point of that fight was, but
what was the point of him? Why was he even in the show?
I know, I've heard in the books he's a little more interesting. He has to do with, like, dark magic and stuff.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Yeah, but according to book readers, he was kind of shafted, his character was, at least in the TV show.
Like, I don't know, like, I didn't even want him to kill a dragon. Like, why does he get to kill a dragon?
Yeah.
Like, what has he done?
That was one of the few moments this season that actually shocked me, when that dragon got nailed out of the sky.
Yeah, it just happened like it was nothing, too. Like, the dragons are so important. They just shot one out of the sky. Like,
yeah,
Dany
didn't seem to have much of a reaction to that. It was very brief.
I think, well, she got angry, right? And she, like, charged the ships when it happened.
Yeah, but aside from that, not much time was spent there, which I guess you don't really need to, but...
Yeah, you didn't really, like, see her emotional.
Especially when you're trying to wrap up an entire series in 6 episodes.
Yeah.
To grovel.
How'd you feel about Arya in this episode?
It was fine.
Yeah.
She has a new mission, it seems. Obviously, she abandoned her goal to assassinate Cersei.
I guess it's not possible anymore.
We spent a lot of time with Arya this episode, of her just in the crowds.
For sure.
Outrunning
the
dragon.
In the thick of things, like experiencing what's happening from a different standpoint.
Right.
I
like the perspective, though. I will say, spectacle-wise, I like the visual effects. I thought it was awesome. I liked being in the crowds while the dragons reigning overhead. It was pretty cool. I think it helps paint Dany as a villain a bit better, because if there's close-ups of her reacting to her actions the whole time, you kind of just kind of... It's not as effective. If she feels distant and like an entity that's flying above and destroying everything, I feel like that disconnect helps establish her more as a villain.
Yep.
I will say that at first I was surprised at her doing that, but then when I really reflected on everything, it kind of made sense. She knows that the true nature of Jon, she knows that's kind of inevitable for him to wind up on the throne, or at the very least get in the way of her reign. That's part of it. Secondly, he has no desire to be with her anymore, which is another part of it.
Yeah.
She knows that she's kind of alone in everything. Even Tyrion isn't totally on her side.
And she lost what's-her-face when Cersei decapitated
her. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of alone, and she knows that. And she knows that nobody really loves her. And I imagine she figured, no, if no one's going to love me, they're going to at least fear me.
Yeah.
So I will say I was genuinely shocked when she started killing all the innocent people. When she flies off, she's like, okay, she's going to go kill Cersei.
Yeah.
The bells ring. She said she wouldn't do it, but I can understand why she'd want to kill Cersei at the very least. But when she started just destroying everything, I out loud was like, holy crap.
Yeah,
I was not expecting that.
She literally, the bells rung. So much bloodshed could have been spared. Everyone could have lived. But everyone died. She burned all the streets, man.
Yeah, I could not believe it.
I couldn't believe it.
And I'm not one of those people who disagrees with that decision in the writing. I'm fine with that.
I think this is where it was ultimately leading.
The Mad Queen indeed.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of sad for her, because there was a period of time throughout the course of the series that I was rooting for Daenerys. I was like, I mean, she really would make a good leader. She's hot-headed. She's made some poor decisions, and she's been kind of evil in the past here and there. But
it has been cool seeing her whole arc, though, seeing where she came from, being such an innocent soul, and then what she's become through everything she's experienced.
Yeah. It is sad too to be the breaker of chains to the burner of the innocent.
Yeah. So, and I like the whole image where the Iron Throne is covered in ash. It wasn't covered in snow. It was covered in ash.
Mm-hmm. And she has definitely gone full supervillain, to say the least.
Oh, yeah. So is there anything else we're not talking about before we can move on to predictions? We talked about the Hound. We talked about Arya. What about Jon? He didn't really do a whole lot this episode.
No, he just killed some guys.
He tried to hold back his men because he didn't feel like it was right. I think
there's a lot of dumb stuff in this episode, too.
Talking about Tyrion. He's kind of he's making a lot of wrong decisions now.
Yeah.
Varys killed.
I think the theory is that Varys got a bunch of letters out before he actually died. It looks like he burned that last one.
Yeah.
But the theory is that he got a bunch of letters out at the Seven Kingdoms, and they're going to all know that Jon is the true heir. And then no matter what, everyone will probably turn against Dany in the end.
Yeah. But she has a dragon. So what happens there?
Right. I have a couple of theories about that, too.
How are they going to wrap all this up in one episode?
Here? I know. It's amazing. It's amazing. I thought my prediction originally was that the final battle would happen this episode and they would tie up all the loose ends for an hour and a half in the series finale. What was I going to say? I wanted to say Tyrion, and specifically Peter Dinklage. I thought his acting was excellent in this episode. I think the best scene in the entire episode was between him and Jaime in the tent when he helps him escape.
Oh, yeah. I loved that, too.
I'm glad
you brought that up.
Yeah. And also his face acting is incredible when he realizes what Dany's doing when she starts burning everyone. He's like, geez, totally shocked and disturbed.
He realized how much of a mistake he made.
Yeah. Everyone trying to tell Jon, it's probably not a good idea, pal. And he's like, she's my queen.
Yeah.
So you blew it.
I mean, he just bought into the hype like everyone else did, you know?
So what else from the episode are we missing? Again, the action was awesome. Mm-hmm. Some of it may or may not have been warranted. Some character arcs may have felt a bit lackluster. How do you feel about Arya just surviving everything?
Oh, he knew she would. I feel like it's fine. I liked that she kind of experienced what everyone else was going through, and that she tried to save that woman and her child, and she couldn't even do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool to see her feel so, literally seeing her feel so helpless.
Right.
She's usually in control all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also got that in the Battle of Winterfell a little bit too. When they fought the White Walkers, but
yeah, she's going to need one more badass moment, I think, before the series wraps.
Yeah, is there some kind of significance with that horse that she rode off with at the end?
Everyone's referencing that verse in Revelation about the pale horse. I don't know if that's it specifically, but
okay,
there might be. I don't know.
Yeah,
it looked cool in the very least.
She's running back to Winterfell or something, or I'm not really sure.
I mean, I imagine she's going after either Dany or going to meet up with Jon, perhaps.
Yeah. What do you want to predict? Just what happens?
I have a couple of theories. I don't know if I have predictions per se. I'll make a prediction for the sake of predictions. But my theory that I'd like to be true is that there are more dragons. Remember, Drogon disappeared for a while a few seasons ago. No one really knew where he went, and he came back.
Yeah.
And there's a theory floating around that he went and made more dragons. Or she, whatever it is.
But would someone be controlling them?
I don't know, but you got to remember that Jon's also Targaryen and has also ridden a dragon.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if he can talk the dragon into turning on Daenerys. Now, obviously, yeah, neither of them can burn. And I assume John can't burn either. But it'd be interesting if he had Drogon turn on Daenerys and actually eat her. Yeah. How gnarly would that be?
Oh my God.
There's like, instead no of him way. Like stabbing her, like she tells like Drogon, you know, Dracarys, and tries to burn him. Maybe it just doesn't affect John. And then he like says something else and like eats her or something.
Yeah.
I think that'd be the coolest thing, honestly, for her own, because that'd be very poetic. I think the mother of dragons is killed by her own dragon.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cooler than like Arya assassinating her or John just stabbing her or something. But I hope that the Starks win in the end. It could be a dark ending for all we know. At this point, I'd rather it just be a happy ending after all this. It's a shame because I did so much great work with the character arcs and the build and the way they told the story over the course of 8 seasons. But
yeah,
and it's all being rushed to the finish line.
I never thought that King's Landing was going to be turned to ash. Like it has been. Like right. It's just ruined.
Yeah, I've seen some of the best memes come out of this past episode. Mm-hmm. So many good ones on Twitter.
I think that... I think John's going to win in the end. I just feel like he makes the most sense. But that might also be why he doesn't win. But if it's not him, I don't really know who would be on the throne, you know?
Like Sansa?
Maybe Sansa, but... Mm. I don't know. I feel like she wants to be in the north. And I know John doesn't want to be king, but
yeah,
it's his birthright. You know, but I've never been good at predictions.
Right. I've heard others' predictions. People think and hope that John winds up becoming warden of the north. Sansa winds up on the throne. Arya's like something. I can't remember.
I think Tyrion dies. I don't know how.
I think he's a goner too. Yeah, I hope he isn't. I'd love it to be a happy ending where Jon, Sansa, Arya, Tyrion, and what's his name? Sir Davos or Sir Marmont?
I think they all abandon Daenerys for sure.
Yeah, I hope they all survive. I've also heard theories that Jon would maybe reluctantly wind up on the throne, and then Sir Davos would be his hand. Arya, I'd like Arya to have like a Witcher-like ending where she just goes out into the world and like goes on her own way like a secret assassin. That'd be pretty cool.
What about Bran?
Oh yeah, I always forget about Bran.
Is he just gonna chill?
Yeah, I guess he's just gonna chill. I don't know.
Do you think he'll be in the last episode?
No, absolutely. Everyone's gonna be in the last episode. I've also heard theories that Jon will just melt down the Iron Throne. There will be no like. I mean, I feel like the Seven Kingdoms probably need an overall ruler, but I mean, maybe there would be a different approach to it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. That world's a pretty cruel place.
Yeah, indeed.
Even turns the best of people into the worst of people.
Yeah. I think my ideal ending would be Sansa on the throne, Arya going out to do her own thing, which I will say one of the coolest visuals of that entire episode was Arya and the Hound sneaking into the city with their hoods on.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that'd make a kick-ass spinoff show, but can't happen now, obviously. No. But that was cool seeing them team up, because I always liked them as a duo in the past, and I like how they kind of reconnected in this final season. It was cool.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, they were an awesome duo. But ideal ending, Arya goes out into the world like a Witcher. Sansa's on the throne. Maybe Bran's there with her. And then Sir Davos and Jon wind up back in the north, and Jon's like warden of the north or something.
Yeah.
King of the north.
I think the Starks will be on the throne. You've convinced me.
I certainly hope so. I mean, then again, I could see Dany just killing everyone, and it'd be incredibly dissatisfying of an ending. Yeah. It wouldn't be out of character for Game of Thrones to end tragically like that, but I feel like, I mean, knowing George R.R. Martin, I don't know if he's how much he's worked with the writers to wrap this show up versus the books, but something tells me he would end it tragically just because he can.
Yeah. I mean, the book's called, or the last one was called A Song of Fire and Ice. So do we know like what the last book's going to be called?
I have no idea.
Because obviously, well, I guess the ice could have been the White Walkers, but. I don't know, I feel like John's ice and Danny's fire.
Right.
Does that like predict an ending in any way? I don't know.
Like, I think the coolest way Dany could go down if she does die is if John either has another dragon that shows up and is on his side and there's like a big battle, or if he just has Drogon turn on her.
See, I'm trying to like think of a scenario where like if she didn't die that way, like how would she die? Because like how do you get rid of the dragon? You know?
What do you mean?
Like, oh, how do you kill it? Say that doesn't happen. Like,
I think honestly at this point, that is the only way is for the dragon to turn on her. If it doesn't, then everyone's screwed.
Right.
So.
I don't know, man. Your guess is as good as mine. I really don't know.
I also think Brienne would be the hand, or like, I guess the head of the guard of Sansa if she was queen.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool. She deserves it.
Yeah.
Sad that Jaime went out the way he did.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the best case scenario to have Jon in the north, Sansa in the west, Tyrion's sister on the Iron Islands. Theon's sister.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Also, the blacksmith, Arya's slam piece, wherever he's from, leading Baratheon. That section.
The Baratheon boy.
Yeah. I feel like that's best case scenario, but
yeah,
it may not happen that way. I don't know.
We will see, man.
I could always see John and Sansa leading together, but granted, they've always kind of disagreed in a lot, so I don't know how that would go. But and then Bran being sort of Warden of the North.
I thought it would have been cool to see Dany and John rule together, but I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah, that ain't happening anymore.
What if the show just ended and she was in power? Daenerys. Like, would that be unsatisfying?
It would be unsatisfying for me, I think. I mean, I'd applaud the writers. I'd applaud the writers for being bold and going there. But I think in the long run, I'd be dissatisfied.
What if she just said she was sorry? Like, wouldn't that be okay?
Sorry, I got mad.
Yeah. Look at my dragon.
Yeah. Don't cross me.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, though.
No.
But I think we covered everything. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I'd love to hear others' predictions in our spoiler tab on Discord of Game of Thrones for the final episode.
So let me ask you this. Are you going to like put this as a separate upload on YouTube?
Nah, no.
Okay. Just like a little bonus section for the podcast.
Bonus section of the podcast.
Okay.
So we could always do bonus sections on for spoiler stuff at the end of episodes, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you kind of get the full podcast, plus if you want to stick around for the spoilers, you can at the end.
Sure.
For other things. I don't know when we can, I guess we can spoiler review the series finale next week.
Oh, yeah. I'd actually really like to do that because I don't have a lot of friends that actually watch the show, believe it or not.
Right.
Or at least the ones that I talk to every day. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would be fun.
All right, Jacob. Well, we've made good time, man. I know I probably will go to class. I only have 2 absences, but you know, I'm going to be mature and go there.
All right, dude.
Because I'm a good boy.
I didn't have the balls.
So I may need those 2 absences at the end of the quarter for all I know.
That's true, yeah. I need to go take a poo-poo.
I got a poo-poo, too. All those coffees run right through me. I need a bidet is what I need.
Yeah.
I could go for one right now.
In your mouth?
I don't need it in the mouth. I need it in the anus, but that's neither here nor there, Jacob. This was episode 201 of the It's Obvious podcast. Thank you guys again so much for tuning in. If you stuck through to the end for the bonus section of our Game of Thrones spoiler talk, look forward to talking about the grand finale with you next week and anything else gaming wise that happens in between now and then. Enjoy Rage if you're playing it. Day's gone. Anything else you got going on? Love you all to bits. And again, we will be back on track. And on time with every episode, starting at the end of the month. So again, love you, miss you, talk to you soon.
Yep. Thank you guys for tuning in. I will see you hopefully next week, Garrett. Hopefully we can get together.
Yes, sir.
Get another episode out on the interwebs. Yep. But thank you
guys.
And caller
so text me about Pokemon tonight.
Oh, 100%. I will do that.
Alrighty, sir. Look forward to it.
All right. Bye.